don't have to break. Turn up your dobro. People said it was useless. Them people are the fools. Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. You need to be in touch with the program. Shoot us a text and we'll read it on air, and just try to leave out the profanities. I always appreciate that. Remember, I have to protect the SEC demons, if you will, from coming. But hit us up, and we will do our best to respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Still come on the program about an hour from now. Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall, so stay tuned for that as well. But joining us now on the line, friend of mine, friend of the program, a champion for a lot of good causes in Montgomery, State Representative Mark Gidley from Glidco is on with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Doing well, man. Good to be on with you this morning.
Hey, thank you for doing this. Always appreciate your time. I kind of want to get you to talk about a couple of things. And I was thinking about you the other day. I guess it was a lower court kind of put a hold on Louisiana's law with the Ten Commandments. You've been a very vocal advocate for that in the state house, having them on display in our schools. You're watching this, watching what the federal courts are doing. Does any of this need to be concerned about?
Well, appreciate that, Jeff. I really do. Thank you so much. Of course, it's always a concern when we see the courts trying to block one of the foundational pillars of our country. And we know that these were things that our founding fathers used to determine how our government will be set up. And to remove those pillars removes that some of those foundations. And we want to definitely place those back. And we have the great ability to do that. Let me say that one of the things that we tried to do with our Ten Commandments bill, while we, of course, looked at what Louisiana did and even pulled their bill and that kind of thing in drafting our own, but we worked with a lot of people, including the governor's staff and other people that we worked with over the course of drafting this bill and getting it ready. Of course, you know, we got it through the House, and of course, the time ran out before we was able to get all the way through the Senate. But we're going to, of course, go back again with that next year. What we tried to do, though, Jeff, is we tried to make sure to set this, first of all, in its historical context, and placing this these Ten Commandments posters in classrooms where there will be one place somewhere strategically in the school, then one place in the classroom where American history is taught. There will be alongside, hopefully, other documents that would already be there depicting, you know, the foundation of our country. And, of course, the Ten Commandments were definitely one of the very pillars of that. So hopefully what we've tried to do is to make sure we have placed it in a way that it will stand any kind of court challenge. Putting it in a historical context in the bill, it has a lot of references to our history and how those founding documents were a part of that. So hopefully we have created a bill that would stand that if it were to be challenged.
So we're not. I mean, we're not. We're not to that point. But I can't help but think. You've had some opponents on this effort. They're going to use that to try to shoot it down.
Well, you're exactly right. And of course, you know the thing that people come up with. And I even had this brought to the floor as we were debating this on the floor this past session. Is the quote separation of church and state? And we know that was not in the Constitution. People accorded it so much, as one of our Supreme Court justices said back in the 50s, that if it was continued to be quoted, people were going to think it's in the Constitution. And I hear people quote it as if it is in the Constitution. It is not. We know where that came from, a letter from Jefferson to the Danbury Baptist Association. But when you look at history, and here's the other thing too, Jeff, is look how many times that the Ten Commandments is plastered in our courtrooms, at the Supreme Court. I was just recently in D.C., matter of fact, just last week in D.C., standing in the House chambers there in the Capitol building, looking up, and there are all kind of entourages or whatever you want to call it, of faces around the top of that wall. But in the right in the middle of that is the image of Moses, and he's the only one facing forward. All the rest of those images are facing sideways. Moses is in direct middle, facing forward, as if he's looking straight at the place where the president would speak and where the vice president sits and the Speaker of the House and all of that, as if to say those commandments of God are guiding principles for our nation. And we know that's all over the place. Let me give you a quick quote, if I can, Jeff. This is the Secretary of State William Seward made this statement in 1836. And this comes out of Bill Federer's book on the chapter America's Experiment of Self-Government. Listen to what the Secretary of State said in 1836. He said, "I know not how long a Republican government can flourish among a great people who have not the Bible. The experiment has never been tried, but this I do know, that the existing government of this country never could have had existence but for the Bible." And then Dwight Eisenhower, 1952, says, "You can't explain free government in any other term than religious." And he goes on to finish that statement. So we understand that what has made this country what it is the foundational principles of biblical truth. So unless we return those back to that foundation, matter of fact, I listened to Kayleigh Shackelford, a member of President Trump's new Commission on Religious Liberty, speak just the other day. He said, if we were lose our religious freedom, we will lose all of our other freedoms. And this is exactly true. So having these foundational documents and principles back in the public sphere doesn't force anybody to believe anything. It just simply returns the foundation of who we are and what has made us, or actually granted freedom to every American, whether you're a believer or not. So it's extremely important, and I'm going to continue to work to return these things. And let me just say one final thing, Jeff. It's not necessarily that we're putting the commandments back in our schools. It's that we're returning back what the courts said we had to remove. And we know that lemon test is gone. Those things can be now returned back as they were there for almost 200 years. And it's a great day and a great opportunity. And we just cannot afford to miss it.
Representative, beyond the display of these documents, I mean, do we know if they're included in these public school curriculums?
Now, say that again, Jeff. If they're included,
so
in what?
In public school curriculum. So, for example, you know, your history class or whatever it may be, if you're in grade school, are they teaching this stuff in Alabama public schools?
Jeff, I'm not sure if they're teaching it now, but let's go back a few years. And there was a primer, and I don't have that in front of me now. It's in my office in another part of where I'm at here. But there was a primer that was used by our school children up until the early 1900s that not only taught and had included in there the Ten Commandments, but also had included there the pathway to salvation as well. And that was a school book for the younger children in what would have been the primer back in those days. That the Ten Commandments was definitely included there. It was a part of that for well over 100 years in our school systems and was read by our children in the schools. So, yes, it was there. I don't know how many or if there are any current books that have that, but I do know it was a definite part of the early learning of our children up until the early and even the mid-1900s. So, once again, those things that were our founders and those for 100-plus years felt like was so important have been removed. Now we have the privilege to hopefully return those things and return the foundation of who we are. Quick question, Jeff.
Sure.
For those who would argue that nothing religious or Christian belongs in our schools, I would just simply ask the question, were our schools better when they were there, or are they better now since they've been removed? And I think you can look around and see the answer to that question.
Yeah, because I was thinking about this, and I'm all for your effort here, but if the school is just going to put them on the wall and not talk about them, and I was in school, I mean, there was lots of things on the wall, you know, a periodic table or whatever that I had no grasp of, but I think, like, not necessarily drilling down that these are your guiding principles or whatever, but having at least a working knowledge of this is this is what was in this country for years and years, or decades, for decades and decades and decades. And this is how things got to where they are. You got to have an understanding of the Ten Commandments, the Magna Carta, you know, all these founding documents. And that's what I say when you put them on the wall, you know, you see them, but like, is it really making that connection?
Well, that's a very good point, Jeff, and I appreciate that. You are correct that there need to be understanding of why they're there. They need to be, when somebody talks about it, they need to be said in their proper setting and proper understanding of that. But this is the beginning, and maybe we can, you know, move on to a next level of things as we move on. But let me say this. I guarantee anything you put on the wall in the classroom with children and with kids, with students, it's going to be talked about. I can almost guarantee that. There'll be questions asked. There'll be people say, what is that? Students will say, hey, well, why is this here? What is this about? What? And it's going to really, just the momentum of them being there will drive conversation that will drive those who are leading those classrooms to come to a greater understanding. I fully believe that. I believe that because I know how students are. They are question askers. They're going to do that. They're going to ask questions. But also know the power of God's Word. Just the presence of it will bring a change. Now, I know I'm misunderstanding. I believe there needs to be more than that. But yet, just the presence there will create questions, and hopefully it will be a driving force to cause people to have to look to find answers as to why those important they're there. So I think this is a great start, and I think we must start somewhere, and I think this is a good place for us to start, Jeff.
Joined by State Representative Mark Gidley here on the program. He's from Glencoe, which straddles the Calhoun-Etowah County line in East Alabama. He's also pastor at the Faith Worship Center. Representative, let's talk about Israel. And you hear this, and I'm curious to get your reaction. You hear from a lot of people who make these decisions in government, and they will talk about Israel and how important it is for the United States to play a role in its defense. And oftentimes they will cite something from Scripture as one of, you know, not the justification, but one of the justifications. Talk about that, sort of the role of government public policy and that as a the reasoning here for doing what the United States is doing with regards to Iran. What do you make of it?
Well, first of all, you can't separate the nation of Israel from its biblical history. I mean, that's, you know, it was some 3,000 years ago that God brought them out of Egyptian bondage and gave them that land there, where a portion of that is where Israel is today. The original was much larger than what they currently occupy. So we can't separate that. You can't understand Israel or their existence without understanding the history of who they are. You can't understand the history of who they are without going to the Bible, because that's where their history comes from. And to ignore that or to say that's not there is impossible, because, I mean, How in the world can we go back 3,000 years and follow the history of a people and then have our historical aspects follow it perfectly as well, and not know there is some supernatural reasoning for this nation existing? And it is. Let me just get somewhat spiritual here for a moment, Jeff. And if you read Scripture and understand why they came into existence, they came into existence as a fulfillment of God's word that He would bring a Savior and a Messiah to bring deliverance to the world. And he had to have a nation to bring that Messiah through. And He chose Israel. He created them. He formed them. They rebelled on numerous occasions and suffered drastically for that. And have still been suffering for that in recent decades. But yet He brought them forth to bring forth the Messiah that would be the salvation for all the world. So that was one of the reasons why their existence was so important. But they were chosen by God. God does have a hand upon a purpose upon them. And, of course, He does tell us in the Word that He will bless those who bless Israel. So we know there's a great calling upon. Now, does that make Israel perfect? Does that mean that everything they do is perfect? No. We can read through history and read through biblical accounts that they haven't always been perfect, haven't everything perfect. But yet the hand of God is on that nation. And so this is why we see such a fierce opposition to Israel. And we have to understand why the fierce opposition comes against them. The only way to understand that is to understand the spiritual significance of who they are. This is why they're so deeply opposed. Now, I know there may be people listening to this program today that will kind of brush aside the spiritual aspect here, maybe people that are non-believers or whatever, and that's fine. That's their prerogative. But you have to understand there's a spiritual aspect here to this nation. And this is why they're hated so fiercely. When we go all the way back to the time of the Philistines, and we see how they so fiercely come against Israel, and even some of the attacks that we saw them have in the last couple of years are very similar to some of the attacks they underwent by the Philistines hundreds and even thousands of years ago. I think, and let me again get spiritual here, because I can't hardly help but do that, is that there is, you know, there is spiritual prophecies concerning them and concerning not only the first coming of Christ, the Messiah, but his second coming as well. So we must believe there's a spiritual side to the enemy, who's the enemy of God, Satan, who wants to stop those things. So the only way to do it is to destroy Israel. So their preservation is extremely important. Now, what's happened in the last few days, we're going to see how the outcome of that is. I did a message Sunday, kind of giving an update on spiritual end time prophecy. But, you know, we're going to have to see how that comes out. Now, there's been a little bit of a wrench in the works in the last few hours here, as the ceasefire that we all thought last night was going to happen is kind of not playing out exactly as everybody thought it would. And Trump's a little irritated about that. And we'll see how that goes. But, you know, to go back to the practicality of where we are today, we realize we have a country, Iran, who has stated that their number one goal was to annihilate Israel and annihilate the United States. So the fact of them not having nuclear weapons was absolutely important. We trust that all the information that was given was true. I have to say, I still stand in awe of our United States military and what an awesome precision act that they carried out with those B-2s. It was absolutely amazing. But let me also share this. Let me go here to quickly, Jeff, and you tell me how much time we have.
We're running a little short, but make it quick if you can.
I'll make it quick as I can. Jeremiah 49, Jeremiah says, I will cause Elam to be dismayed before their enemies. Without reading the entirety of that, Elam in the test in the Bible was now what we call Iran, okay? But he also goes on to say, God says, it shall come to pass in latter days, I will bring back the captives of Elam, says the Lord. So what I'm trusting is that through all of this, and I'm not prophesying here, and I'm not saying that declaratively it's going to happen, but I trust through all of this is that we will see something change in Iran that will release the oppression of the Iranian people, that they can find freedom. You know, most of the Iranian people are not in line with the regime that's in charge. The Ayatollah, most of them are oppressed. Women can't walk out in public unless they're dressed a certain way, all kind of things. We're hoping that this is a fulfillment of God's prophecy here, that he was actually going to cause the Iranian people to find freedom, as well as protect the nation of Israel for all the prophecies that, as the Bible said, will come to pass concerning them. So I'll end with that right there. I could go on much longer, Jeff, but I appreciate the opportunity to share just a little bit of what I believe is kind of going on today there with that situation.
Well, Representative, we always appreciate getting you on. We'll catch up again soon.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, that was State Representative Mark Gidley there. Let's get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.
You never count your money. When you're sitting at the table, there'll be...